Blog Talk Radio.
What up, people? This is Speaking Like You're Thinking Radio. I'm your host, Naj, joined by a great co-host tonight. We're really going to get into some things, but this is real sports talk, no PC or restraints, as the title says, Speak It Like You Think It. Tonight I'm joined by ATL's most inquisitive man, a man of questions, new intro for him, the great Gordon Robinson. Gordon, what up?
What's happening?
You know how it is, man. Can't call it. And I'm also joined tonight by a very opinionated man, the one and only Chandler Knight. Chandler, what up?
How you doing, man?
Yeah, that enthusiastic answer by Chandler Knight lets you know he's ready, despite you thinking otherwise. But, yeah, man, glad to have y'all on, man. Let's really get into some stuff tonight. Titled the show, $55 million. Not what it used to be. But just to let you know, we're going to talk about Erin Andrews, first of all, and her invasion of privacy case to where you had someone go into a hotel, ask if Erin was staying there, have some of the staff say yes, and actually provide her a room, him a room next to her, to where he was able to use a peephole to record her in her room, not clothed, and then put the video online for people to see. She's gone through a long case with this. She just won the judgment the other day of $55 million. And there's a great write-up on Sports Illustrated. They actually talked to a lawyer there about, will she ever really see that money? And from what he was writing, looks like it's going to be a long time, and he doubts she'll ever see anything close to that $55 million. But you guys know the case. So I guess I just want to get your opinion on the judgment. And then, because people are really like you can really see a difference in the two sides on this. Because I don't know if there's anything deeper on this. I don't know if there's more than two sides. But you got basically people saying, man, it's a horrible thing, and that's what they're concerned with. Then you got other people who are just mad that the amount was so excessive and all that railing against it, $55 million. So I kind of want to see what you guys think about this situation. And well, let me take it like this to you, Chandler. Does this show where our discourse is and what we think about women?
Yeah, because I don't understand why anybody has a problem with the money. I wish she'd have gotten more. Because what that hotel did was unconscionable. You know, I mean, and the fact that she had to go on the stand and relive that and have to basically be victimized all over again is terrible. It's sad that victims have to be victimized over and over again in these situations. And you can like Erin Andrews, just like Erin Andrews. I have some issues with a lot of things that she's done. But she didn't deserve that. She did not deserve that. That wasn't right. And like I said, I wish she'd have gotten more. And for people to have a problem with the amount of money she got, so someone moron on Twitter tweeted at her, well, you know, there's a lot of women's charities that sure could use some money. And when I told him, I said, well, I'm quite sure that she would like to tell you to kiss her ass. How dare you? You know,
yeah.
How dare you? If you're a man, first of all, in my opinion, you got nothing to say about this. You got nothing to say, unless you're talking about how terrible it is that women can be treated like this. But if you want to sit there and try to justify it, and you run around talking about, oh, why she gets so much money and she ain't look that good anyway, you need to go somewhere, man, and drown.
Yeah, that's why I'm maintaining there's really no other position on this. And Gordon, let's take it to another part of the situation. The Marriott basically said, look, that's this franchise. We have nothing to do with that. That's on them. And that's kind of how the case played out, where it's her against this franchise. And whoever it is that they paid legally, they came up with the perfect idea of, well, this really seemed to have skyrocketed your career. This appeared to be something that made you even more famous. Gordon, how did they come to that conclusion in your opinion?
Man, that's lawyer speak, for real. I mean, lawyers are gonna find any little thing to get their client, you know, out of the try to get them out of the water. I think it was hilarious that whatever happened to the days of privacy. I mean, I get it. We live in social media days. We live in the age where you leave trails and breadcrumbs. You put your social security number on the internet. You put your credit card number on the internet. You order shoes, groceries, all through the internet. And so it basically seems like we literally have no privacy. But in the world, not even just the point of being a celebrity. Even if she was a D-list celebrity, if it's me playing Joe Blow off the street, and I'm saying Marriott, how can someone walk up and say, hey, is Gordon Robinson staying here? And they say, yeah, he's in room 632. Cool, let me get 630. You know what I'm saying? What world does that make sense? Like, that don't ring a bell with you? Not even, maybe you, either it's a stalker, you know what I'm saying? It's like either you're a stalker, you're trying to catch me up on something. You know, how is that cool? What? Who is that guy? Who's the receptionist that was like, yeah, and I'll book you beside him? You know what I'm saying? I don't get that. And even, I mean, if you dabble in sports, you knew who Erin Andrews, you know who she is. So, knowing who she is, you know that she's a public figure. And this guy walks in, asks for the room number, gets it. I mean, that's the part that I don't get, gets the room number. And gets a room beside it. The stupidity alone should give her $55 million. Now, I will say that when I heard the number, I thought to myself, much probably like the reporter, like she'll probably never get it because, one, the stalker, I'm certain, doesn't have the $55 million, doesn't have the $26 million, or however they divided it up, the 26 to 28, whatever it was. And then the Marriott, even if they haven't disassociated themselves from that particular franchise, they were going to string, I'm pretty sure they're going to string it out as long as possible. Once I heard the number, I was like, okay, do you really see? I mean, she may turn out to lose money in the end. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, I think that's how the judge is looking at it. So he throws the number of 55 out, hoping like, okay, maybe she gets 10. Maybe she gets 15 out of this after everything is settled. I think that's how they were looking at it. But yeah, that's
because,
I mean,
your
if you're a franchise,
question,
you don't have it, you file bankruptcy. You know what I mean? So it's
right. But back to the original question, though. I mean, lawyers will say anything lawyers are some of the greasiest people on the face of the earth. I mean, let's just face it. I mean, and
yeah, but how is that not tone deaf in the room? How did not one lawyer in the room say, I don't think that's a solid strategy, Bob. I think that's going to blow up in our faces. Like, how did nobody say that? Like, nobody, everybody was like, yeah, that's a good idea. Wish I'd have thought of that one. Like,
but when you don't have a solid if you don't have a strategy, almost any strategy sounds like it'll work. We'll go with that. You know what I'm saying? If we don't have, if we want to do anything, we want to get anything accomplished, and we don't have a plan, the dumbest plan sounds like it might go, it might fly. Because we can't find one, you know what I'm saying? We can't find anything to do. And somebody come up with some stupid, like, I don't know, but let's give it a shot.
Man, that is hilarious that they came up with that. And like I said, I think we're all kind of on the same sentiment with this. So, I mean, look, man, if you're out here really worried about money and you're really looking in other people's pockets and that dollar figure really, really disturbed you, but the invasion of privacy, the idea that somebody could actually get your information at a hotel that easily, think of how easily you yourself could be robbed. Somebody in your family could be robbed or, you know, your privacy invader or anything else. If somebody's willing to just give up your information just on a whim to somebody straight off the street. So stop looking at the dollar figure and think in a bigger way on this. But let's move on to the next topic. And we're going to stay with the women. We're going to stay with the women. Equal opportunity on this show. Maria Sharapova. Oh, Sharapova. Gordon, I'm going to give you this one first, man. She already admitted, you know, she failed a drug test. She already admitted to it, had her little presser. The drug company says that drug is for 4 to 6 weeks for, you know, recovery and everything else, and not for use of 10 years. Your thoughts on that fact mixed with her presser to where she tried to make it seem like an innocent mistake?
Yeah, you know, I never buy the whole I didn't know thing. Once again, I mean, we've gone through this with countless of athletes. Every time, you're not going to tell me your body is worth millions and millions of dollars and you just putting anything in there. And you say, oh, well, I was suffering from this and I was being treated with that. But when you hear the side effect, one of the things that causes, helps you to have longer endurance, you were taking it for a reason. I mean, yes, it may have benefited you. I think she said she had what disease was it? It wasn't diabetes. It was whatever the disease was that she was suffering from. Yes, initially you may have been used it to be treated, but once you figure out, hey, you know what? Ever since I've been on this stuff, I can play all day. I think I'll stick with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's going into your body. I refuse to believe anyone who sit there and tell me that you're $100 million, you're a $1 million athlete, whether it's through the game or endorsements, and you don't know what you're ingesting, you don't know what you're drinking, you don't know what you're inhaling. You'd be a fool. You understand? See what I'm saying? You'd be a fool not to. That's how you make your living. So
yeah.
I never buy the I didn't know, whether it's from any athlete. You know what I'm saying? And yes, he said it just recently popped up on the ban list. Well, that's probably because she's not the only one that's using this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? She's not the only one that's using it. It just popped up on the ban list probably because more people are using it, and she's the first one to get caught. And I'm pretty sure that had she not gotten caught, she probably only raised her hand up because somebody was going to snitch. It's how the world always works. Somebody's going to out you. Somebody's going to blackmail you, whatever. Well, fine. I'll put it out there myself before it gets real ugly.
Yeah, let me put on this brave face and admit to what you already caught me doing. Amazing move. I tried in high school with an ex-girlfriend. Didn't work. Chandler, Now, look, man, I'm really open to PEDs and talking about how we can figure out how they should be used and getting rid of the stigma that's attached to them and all of that. But I find it kind of peculiar that all of a sudden, when she gets caught, now people are willing to have this nuanced, real conversation about PEDs. I saw a few articles today talking about, have we reached a point to where we should investigate whether PEDs could be useful and a healthy thing for athletes. Sharapova seems to bring that sentiment. You know what I mean? What do you think about that, man?
Oh, now if the blonde, blue-eyed white girl got caught, then, you know, we need to let everybody get caught. We need to let people use it because, you know, we can't call the blonde, blue-eyed white girl that we've held up as this model of tennis, even though she's never won a damn thing. we held her up as, well, she's going to beat the Williamses because we can't have them animals running tennis, you know. All of a sudden now, you know, Martina Navratilova, I have no respect for you whatsoever anymore. As a person who understands discrimination, been discriminated against, and still gets discriminated against, for you to tape up for Maria Sharapova, when all these years that people have been slinging mud at Serena Williams and saying that she looks like a man, like they said you look like a man and you had to be on something, for you to tape up for her is disgusting. It's disgusting. You know, what I find funny that when the little Barbie doll got caught, now all of a sudden she was brave and selfless and she admitted something. She came clean. You know, she got caught and she was getting suspended, and she knew that if she stood up there and dressed all prim and proper with her blonde hair and blue eyes and pale, translucent skin, that everybody would say, oh, you didn't do anything wrong. It was an honest mistake that for 10 years you've been using something to treat a heart condition that you don't have. We understand. Anyone would do that. I take 26 pills a day. 26. I know what each and every one of them are doing to my body.
Right.
But for 10 years, you took something that you innocently took because you once had a cough, I think. You know, it had nothing to do with the fact that you could then play tennis for like 48 hours in a row and never get tired. You know, it had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it at all. Poor you. You're so misunderstood. You don't understand the pressure you're under. And this is just the inherent racism in the media at its finest. Because had this been Serena or Venus Williams, particularly Serena, listen, they would have had pitchforks and burning clubs outside the door saying, give back every tennis trophy you ever won. Banning her from the tour. You got people talking about she should be allowed to participate in the Olympics. Now, last I checked, WADA says if you get busted for some sort of infraction that goes against their rules, you should be banned for the next year. Yeah. I believe the Olympics is in less than a year. How is she going to get the play? Man, look. And the fact that James Blake, another one. Really, James? You going to cape up for her? Really? After that cop beat you down outside the hotel because you fit the description of somebody that was 6 inches taller and 3 shades darker than you, are you going to cape up for her? It's ridiculous, man, and it's sickening. You know,
indeed.
But this is what it is, man. Huh?
Yeah, I just said indeed, and this justifies my shade theory. For anybody who's never heard my shade theory, it is this. If you need action on criminality, you need a black face as the head of that criminality or the idea behind it. So you throw out Cosby and you can get action on it. Cosby, action on that criminality. You want something to be looked at with more nuance and innocence, you need a white face on it. So that's what we have here with Sharapova. So now maybe we'll start looking at steroids in a better way. And, you know, HGH and all these other different things. But, like you said, though, man, sad commentary when you consider how the sports world is looking at this and how most people are looking at this. I'm glad both of y'all was here to lay that out, man. Now, we're going to skip around a lot. For those who've never listened to the show, we're not going to stick in one genre. We're just going to move from sport to sport. Try to keep up, man. Try to keep up. First things first, man. Look, Chandler. Now I'm a Midwesterner, through and through. I'm from Illinois. That's where I was born. You know what I mean? That's where I'm from. I'm in Georgia now, but that's where I'm from. I will tell you, the University of Illinois football program is trash. And for Lovie Smith to be reduced to taking that job is not only a slap in the face to him, but it's a slap in the face to all black coaches within the NFL. That's my take on it. I want to hear where y'all go with this. Lovie Smith to the University of Illinois. I mean, nice money, it looks like. But college, Big Ten, a non-traditional football power? I mean, Lovie Smith to University of Illinois. Gordon, where you at, man? Looks like we lost Gordon. Chandler, you want to jump on this one first then?
Yo, you got me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. Yeah, my bad. I'm still scratching my head, though, man. I had to believe that this had to be, I just convinced myself, this had to be a Lovie Smith decision. Like, I heard all the reports about his mother being from, his wife being from Illinois. You know, I'm pretty sure they put roots down the whole time while he was in Chicago. And he just enjoyed the place. And at this point, I just convinced myself that he's sick and tired of playing the NFL's game. I mean, I would just, based off the whole thing of how he left Tampa Bay or how he was relieved of his duties in Tampa Bay, I'm just sure I just convinced myself that he had to be tired of their games and said, look, man, I'm tired of this. They hire you to build a team but don't want you to lead that team into success. They can hand it over to a white boy and who's probably not qualified. I'm saying he's not qualified based off of what he did as an offensive coordinator here in Atlanta. So he's not qualified for the job.
Cutter. Yeah, Dirk Cutter, the new head coach, exactly. Tampa, who was the OC last year, and somehow he gets the head job and Lovie's out.
And magically, he just gets the job. I mean, and I would love to talk to a Tampa Bay player because I don't believe that you could look at your head coach knowing that he was the OC last year, nothing else on the team changed. Nothing else on the team changes, but the OC goes to head coach, and we don't suspect that something dirty was going on.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I'm just assuming that he's tired of playing the league games. He's tired of playing these NFL games. He's tired of tap dancing and shucking and jiving for these dudes, only to have them screw him over in the end. So what he decided to do was to go back to quote-unquote home and just kick it there because I'm sure he won't get fired from Illinois. I mean, damn, maybe you have to go 1-9 to get fired. I mean, 1-11 to get fired from Illinois because, shoot, 3-9, they'd be kind of used to that.
Yeah, man. Bad football program, I will not defend it. Chandler. Lovie Smith, man, I know you're not a big fan of Lovie Smith, but just considering the situation, what do you think about him going down to the college ranks?
Well, for Illinois, this is great. For University of Illinois, it's great. You get a guy that was a head coach in pro football who's known in the area. They know that he was the last coach to take the Bears to a Super Bowl. He's got his credentials, so those kids that you've been losing to every other university because, let's be honest, what good high school football player is going to want to go to the University of Illinois? None. You now have a chance at becoming somewhat relevant and maybe making a bowl game. If you get us to a point where you're making bowl games every year, maybe not even the New Year's Day games, but say the Christmas Day games or day after Christmas, then this is a win for University of Illinois. It's a win all the way around. It is, and I've never been a Lovie Smith guy, but the fact that this man had to take a college job at the University of Illinois just speaks to how they view black coaches. You know, you threw him out in Tampa Bay. Threw him out. Now, this man went to a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman as his quarterback. Rex Grossman. Rex Grossman. He went to the Super Bowl with him as his starting quarterback. Okay? And you threw him overboard for a dirt cutter because you said, well, he's got such a good relationship with Jameis Winston. And Jameis progressed. Well, how does the offensive coordinator get credit for the progression of this team and a young quarterback when on every other team in the National Football League, if the young quarterback blossoms, the head coach gets credit?
Yep.
Rex Ryan is getting credit in Buffalo for Tyrod Taylor. Okay? We all know Rex don't know a damn thing about offense except how to spell it. Now, we're not sure he can spell it because he got dyslexia. Okay? But somehow Lovie Smith had nothing to do with the progression of Jameis Winston. He had nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. It was all dirt cutter. All dirt cutter. Well, people were going to hire Dirt Cutter away. So Dirt Cutter, because someone might hire him, you threw Lovie Smith off the roof. Didn't even give him a cigarette first, blindfold or nothing. Hey, Lovie, look over there, and you kicked him in the small of his back. It is, I don't understand, I have not heard not one coach in the NFL speak on this and say, this is ridiculous. I've heard not one say it. Not one.
Yeah, and that's the amazing thing to me. But Chandler, real quick, that's the amazing thing because you go to the NBA, when you see a guy get run out of Cleveland, you see the NBA coaches stand in solidarity, make statements, wag their finger, at least put up a stink. NFL, Lovie gets kicked out the door. Like, yes, that happens.
But, see, you know, the NBA is a whole different dynamic. The NBA is mostly black guys, and now it's starting to be black guys coaching black guys. So, yeah, when some injustice goes on, we're going to point it out. The NFL is like, now you're expecting the police to tell on the police. You know what I'm saying? That just doesn't happen. If a cop goes out and does something crazy, then you have a million other cops making excuses for that cop. You're not going to see anybody break rank in the NFL because they say, oh, that's an injustice. I don't believe that should happen. I mean, I haven't heard. I rarely listen to ESPN anymore outside of a couple little things. So I haven't heard if Tony Dungy or Herm Edwards have spoken out at any point. But I just don't expect any of those coaches, especially not active coaches, to speak out.
Well, no, Bill Belichick had a lot to say when Chip Kelly got fired.
Woo, didn't he, though?
Bill Belichick ran his mouth to anybody who would listen when Chip Kelly got fired. You had coaches all over me say, I don't know how to just throw a guy away after two seasons. You ain't give him a chance. But nobody had nothing to say about Lovie Smith. You know?
Nope.
Nobody had nothing to say about Lovie Smith.
And then can we talk about the unsaid? When a situation like that happens, look, no matter what you want to say, that means you met behind that man's back at some point with management and had a discussion. I don't want to say you had contract talks. I don't want to say they asked you if you were willing to replace it, well, if they had to run him to give you the job. But no matter what, you had a conversation while that man was still employed as the head coach, you as his assistant. Do we have to say that about Dirk Cutter, or am I going too far with this?
No, you're absolutely right, because here's the thing. When I was stationed in Virginia Beach, and they were going to make a change on night shift to make me the supervisor, and a guy that was there had far more time of service than me. And my chief pulled me in the office and said, look, we're probably going to make a change on shift supervisor. We're going to make you shift supervisor. What do you think about that? And immediately from that conversation, when I left, I went and pulled my man to the side and said, look, I don't know what's going on, but I don't backdoor people. Here's what just happened. He said, I know. I said, how do you know? He said, I figured that's what was going on. He said, but don't worry about it. I appreciate you telling me. Okay? And I made sure that everybody in the world knew that they had already told me that they was firing this man and were replacing him with me before I took over that shop, because I won't have nobody in that shop thinking that I knifed that man for his job. Okay? Mm-hmm. I remember Dirt Cutter coming out saying, well, you know what? Listen, me and Lovey talked about it, and we kind of knew that something was coming down the pike. I did not want it to be that way, but this is what happened. He claimed, oh, nobody said nothing to me. So they didn't talk to you about whether or not you were interested in leaving the organization, with the unsaid being, well, if you stay, you want the job. You know, of course he did. He's nice, Lovey. And that's why that team is going to fall apart, because no one is going to trust him. No one is going to trust him. If I'm a player on that team, I'm not following you. I'm not following. I can't believe a word you said. It's like the Knicks with Derek Fisher. You really want to know why the players didn't listen to Derek Fisher? Because he was screwing other people's wives. Right, I can't trust you, my wife. I can't follow you.
Yeah, man. Gordon, you want to say something else to that before we move on, or? Because I mean,
I was gonna say he basically just said the same what I was gonna say. I was like, well, I was gonna basically say you will see it unfold in the next few years as the team basically either A, quits on them, or we see his shortcomings as a coach start to unveil before our eyes as the team taper off with all the potential that they have. And never amount to anything. So we'll see it in the upcoming seasons.
Yeah, agreed. And now I'm going to move on to two stories that I think most people are going to think I'm wrong on, and I'm good with that. But there's just something in me as far as sentiment where these two guys I actually feel for, and I'm not willing to jump on the dog pile that's compiling on these two guys. So I'm gonna split it up to you. And Gordon, I'm gonna go to you first, and I'm gonna talk about Ben Simmons, LSU freshman phenom, who's likely gonna be a top three NBA pick. His grades have slipped. It was actually leaked that he has a 1.0 GPA, and that makes him ineligible for the Wooden Award at the end of the year. And people are really coming down on him now. They're talking to the coach. And, I mean, it's looking really bad for the kid. But like I said, I actually look at this situation totally differently, and I'm on Ben Simmons' side. I think it's a farce, the whole student-athlete thing, the whole one-and-done thing. He's not there to play school. That's my thinking on it. But, Gordon, let me get you on Ben Simmons, man, and I'll take this L publicly. Because I know people aren't going to support this.
No. Did anybody think he's going to be at LSU for more than one season? That's all I want to know. Did anybody? I mean, I don't understand. First of all, does he even care about the Wooden Award when you set up to be the number one pick next season? I mean, okay. I mean, it's not the Wooden, let's be honest, the Wooden Award is not like the Heisman, like where it's not as prestigious. It doesn't come with all the pageantry. It doesn't, I mean, even for what do you even think about the Heisman curse, the Wooden Award is not that.
No.
So, A, does he give a damn? Let's start there. And then, he's only at LSU because the NBA won't accept him today. That's it. If this was 10 years ago, he'd be a rookie making millions of dollars, probably for Boston Philly, because they seem to win. They seem to be right there in the lottery every year for like the past 6 years. So he doesn't care. I wouldn't care, because like you said, this is a farce. He brought LSU some publicity. He basically was a walking commercial. LSU should thank him, because before him, in between Ben Simmons and Shaquille O'Neal, nobody's talked about LSU basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So they should be coming out the pocket. They should have been giving him grades.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? They should be excited that he even chose. And I still, every time I watch an LSU game, I never got the reason. Maybe you guys could help me out. I never understood the reason why he chose LSU. I'm sure it's probably because of some coach that he betted, some camp, and the assistant or whatever. But every time I watch the game, and I'm not real high on Ben Simmons, right? I mean, just to put it out there.
Yeah.
I think his game, you know, it leaves a lot to be desired for me. But everybody seems to think he's the guy for this season. So being that, I wouldn't go to class either. Because what's the sense in going to class? I'm not going to be here next year. I'm not trying to earn a degree.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think this just exposes what a sham that all of this is too much for people who want to look at this through rose-colored glasses and say these are the student-athletes competing against other student-athletes in great contests for the university. So I think what people want to believe that so much when anything hits that goes against that whole little fantasy that, you know, their heads just explode.
Well, I think the reason for the 1 year of school, this is just my logic. I mean, and it might make too much sense for it to be enough NBA owners and NBA personnel logic. My reasoning for it, I assumed that they wanted you to have a year of, we talked about this, they wanted you to have a year of college basketball, one, to expose you and to weed you out, to see whatever kind of shortcoming was in your game, whatever kind of character flaw you had. They wanted to expose you because all of that pressure had been on us. Mm-hmm. And we were making terrible decisions. We were drafting Kwame Brown first. We were drafting down anybody. With Al Jefferson, we drafting. What's my math? I can't remember another cat. But we were just drafting anybody. You were 6'11", we'd take you. Come on. You know, so...
Yeah, so they protect themselves by putting this artificial BS in, so that way they get a year watching you devalue your market or showing that you are what they thought you were, so now they feel safer in picking you when before they were just drafting guys, and, you know, they didn't know what they had until training camp because you only seen them against high school players.
I ask this question, though. Has anybody that was predicted to be the number one guy in – anything other than Kyrie Irving getting hurt while at Duke, has anybody really just been like, oh, he fell off when he went to college?
I can't think of no number one guy. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
they've all pretty much been lottery afterwards.
And it's because of that understanding. Like, all I got to do is go to school for a semester. That's pretty much the rule. Calipari told you that.
Right.
All you got to do is go to school for a semester. And then, shoot, second semester, you kick your feet up. You ain't got to see the classroom. You ain't got to step foot on campus if you don't want to, other than to dress up for the game and come to practice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Wooden Award, like I said, it's not the Heisman. So I'm certain he doesn't care. Let Buddy Hield get that. You can take it. He doesn't. I go cash these checks.
Let me go get these checks, homie. Agreed. Now the second story I'm bringing to you, Chandler. Now, this one's going to be a little more difficult for me to defend, but I still stand in the same ground on this. And we're talking about the University of Wisconsin former coach, Bo Ryan. Bo Ryan, like, look, man, this is infidelity. We got to call it what
Bo Ryan.
Yeah, old man. Old school raggedy Bo Ryan had a younger woman actually show some interest in him. He fell for it. He gets into a long relationship with this woman. Of course, lies to her because that's what married men do when they deal with women on the outside. Makes promises to her, and she sends an email to his job saying that he's not qualified to be a leader of men and a coach and all this, talking about he has integrity and all this other stuff, and he's cheating on his wife. Like, she exposed everything, and basically it made him have to step down and somebody else took the job. Now, I'm not here to defend infidelity. I'm just here to just the people who want to get on their soapbox and talk about how good they are and how they never cheated on anybody and how they'd be such a better person. He's like, look, man, if you look like and are the age of Bo Ryan and some young woman starts to come on to you, yes, there are going to be men who are strong enough. Yes, there are going to be men with the character and integrity not to slip up. But most of us would. That's all I'm saying with this Bo Ryan situation. Chandler, wherever you want to take it on Bo Ryan, because like I said, I'm not laying out a template that anybody has to follow. Y'all know that. Y'all got full autonomy to take it wherever you want to take it. But I'm not joining in on bucking down Bo Ryan.
Rick Pitino was sleeping with his assistant coach's wife. He was shutting down restaurants so they could screw on the table in the restaurant. And everybody and mother defending him. He's providing prostitutes for minors. Okay? And Rick Pitino got a job. And everybody and mother want to keep up for Rick Pitino.
Yep.
Bo Ryan was cheating on his wife. Okay, I'm not a fan of that. His bosses probably have mistresses. His fellow coaches have mistresses. The people, the media covering him are sleeping around with people. That's why Fox Sports journalist just recently stepped down from her position because she messed with some coach. And pro ball, I forget who it is. You know, my memory. But y'all know the story I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So why did Bo Ryan have to fall on his sword? Why did Bo Ryan have to fall on his sword? Now, is what he did wrong? Absolutely. Was he making it known that he was doing it? Did his players know? No, they did not. Is it hypocritical for you to talk to these young men about integrity when you have none? Of course it is. That goes on every day. How many people who are killing Bo Ryan right now got a friend of theirs that's married and they know that one of them is cheating and they ain't said nothing to the other one, but you have them all for dinner once a week. Y'all hang out. Y'all take a family vacation together. Okay? But you want to kill Bo Ryan. You know, clean up your own backyard. Clean up your own friends' backyards. Okay? And I haven't turned them off because I don't really watch that much anymore. But I don't want to hear nothing from anybody on ESPN when you hired Steve Phillips, who kept getting sexual harassment cases everywhere he went, the former general manager of the New York Mets, okay?
Yep.
Who you hired and then had to fire because he kept grab-assing with young women who didn't want him grabbing their ass, okay? I'm not gonna kill Bo Ryan. I'm going to say, damn, you know what, man, you ain't have to go out like that. But if I was Bo Ryan, I wouldn't have stepped down. I would say, oh, hell no. You want me to step down? Let's start talking, all right? Everybody got to go. If I'm going, everybody coming with me. You know what I'm saying? I'm the
ain't no bro.
Okay? Everybody must go. Come on, man. It's ridiculous. It's hypocritical, especially in light of Rick Pitino still having a job. And these same people, I'd be willing to bet, these same people, the Jay Billises of the world, who are killing him, have been defending Rick Pitino all this time.
Agreed. Yeah, the fact that Rick has a job is only tied to he's a made guy, and they know that he makes money for the university and them. And in college, they want to promote the coaches as the stars because the players aren't there long, and the product is not good, as I've said many times. But, yeah, you're right, man. Rick Pitino, that is disgusting.
Isn't Bobby Petrino still back at Louisville, too?
Bobby Petrino has another job.
I think he's back at Louisville. Ain't he back at Louisville? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he is. Bobby Petrino, yeah, he is. He is.
Hustler unseen by the world. That man was cooking up lies, laying in the ditch with a broken neck. He was thinking
I think it's Arkansas. I think it's Arkansas he's coaching at. But yeah, Bobby Petrino got a job in college football,
Yeah, that's it, Arkansas. Sorry about that, y'all. Yep.
No, I think let me check this out, man. I think he got fired by Arkansas because they stunk. But I swear, I want to say he's back at Louis.
Oh,
went right back to
Bielema. Bielema's at Arkansas, right?
Brett Bielema, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so it could be Louisville. Yeah, we got to figure out this. This horrible Bobby Petrino situation. But when you're talking about corruption and coaches doing foul stuff, Bobby Petrino's name's going to pop up. That's just how it goes, man. That's a law. You know what I mean? It is what it is. The man who left the Falcons in the middle of the night with a pig, Shuey Prescott.
Yes, he is. He's
that's Bobby
at
Petrino.
Louisville.
He was hilarious.
He left Arkansas in 2012. He went through Western Kentucky.
And, he's back at Louisville.
Getting them checks. Bobby Petrino, boy, never stops. So, yeah, man, no matter what, bringing this conversation full circle, I'm not going to be the one to jump on Bo Ryan. Even though I hate how he coaches basketball, I hate everything Wisconsin stands for as a team, but I do respect that the man, you know what I mean, is a solid basketball coach. I don't know him in his personal life or think anything of him as far as his ideals. But, man, an old dude like that, yes, they can't get caught slipping as far as cheating. But is it some Patino stuff? No, far from it. And I think they should be looked at in different degrees. But let's keep it moving.
Rick Pitino gave himself a ban on the postseason. You know, ease up on the guy.
A ban on postseason.
I don't think they were going to
postseason. I didn't know anything about the prostitution ring. Nobody told me anything. Yeah, that's pretty much how you structure things when you're doing undercut, raggedy stuff. Okay, don't tell me what's going on. You do what needs to be done. Don't tell me anything. Typical criminal activity.
Okay, don't put
it. It wouldn't surprise you. I want to go through some of the football moves today in the NFL, but I'm going to spread them out and just give each one of you, the different ones and kind of let you go where you want to take it. Gordon, the Chip Kelly moves that Philly is trying to wash themselves of or cleanse themselves of, DeMarco Murray and Kiko Alonso and Byron Maxwell all moved out. Alonso and Maxwell going to Miami and DeMarco Murray to the Titans. The Philly moves, I'm throwing those all in one block. What do you think?
Philly right now is trying to find an identity, man, after Coach just came through and basically tried to recreate the Oregon Ducks, the mighty Ducks that weren't any good. I mean, he got rid of all his talent, and it seemed like they brought in DeMarco Murray just so the Cowboys wouldn't have him again. Mm-hmm. So right now, Philly is cutting. They trying to find something right now. They're trying to cut all ties and build this thing, cut a whole house down, and build the joint back up all over again, because it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot, bro, to just get back to where you were, especially when in the days of McNabb. So I think basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to find an identity right now. They're trying to figure out what's going to be Philadelphia Eagles football again.
Yeah, agreed. Now, Chandler, I'm going to take this one to you. You predicted this a couple of weeks ago. The New York Giants bring back JPP, and we talked about this last year. I mean, okay, so maybe he couldn't finish at times as far as getting the sack, but he seemed to be able to get there at least. What do you think about him coming back on a one-year deal?
I think it's good for him. Listen, you can say what you want. The Giants' defense was terrible, but it was better when he came back last year, and I know better is relative. They probably would have gave up 60 points to the Saints had he not been playing. That's definitely what they gave up. Yeah, so it's all relative. Mm-hmm. Like I said, for him, I think it's good because he's a good guy. He is a good guy. He plays hard on every play versus taking some plays off. And he fits what Spagnuolo wants to do. Spagnuolo likes a guy who just basically goes in there and rushes the quarterback. If you happen to hit the running back on the way, that's fine. But we want you to hit the quarterback. So for the Giants, I think it's a good move. It's a lot of incentive-laden stuff there, so it's not overly taxing on them financially. You know, if he hits everything, yeah, he'll get $10 million. But if he don't hit everything, he ain't getting $10 million. So it's kind of a win-win for both of them.
Yeah. Agree. And, okay, well let me take another one to you, Chandler. Just because of what we've talked about before in the past couple of weeks where we were saying this is one of your statements that no matter what, the Denver defense won't be what it was next year. Because, I mean, we all know how this goes. Great defenses, you're going to lose parts and pieces because they're going to get paid. And then you got to talk about the injuries and just, you know, distraction and some people just having a lack of motivation in that you've already won it. The Malik Jackson, the defensive tackle who was so disruptive for the Broncos, goes to the Jaguars, who have cap space by the boatload. is this something that you expected, that, like, they were going to lose a few major pieces and this is how it goes? Or where are you at with Malik Jackson?
Yeah, I did, because these guys didn't seem like the type of group that would take less money and stay together because they thought they were going to be able to repeat. I think it's going to be – I think they might lose a couple more guys. I think they're going to lose their quarterback, personally, because I don't think they're going to pony up and somebody else is. But and this is why when we talk about people, oh, they're not going to go to that team. That team stinks. Listen, these guys don't have that many opportunities to get the big guaranteed check, okay? Because it's guaranteed money that matters to them. They don't have that many opportunities. So if you tell them, listen, there's a team on the moon, they're going to be on 16, but I'll give you $50 million guaranteed to go there, this cat's putting on helmets and spacesuits and flying up to the moon. Jacksonville ain't going to be good, you know, but he got a Super Bowl ring, and he's going to be down in Florida. You might never hear Malik Jackson's name again for the rest of his career, okay? You don't think he witness protection, but he got paid. So, yeah, I think they're going to lose two or three pieces out of that defense. Just off of the defense alone, I think they're going to lose two or three pieces. But I'm not surprised that he left. And then you got to look into the head coach. It's not like Gary Kubiak is that warm and fuzzy a guy where guys are willing to take less money to play for him. Okay? They're really not. So expect some more people to be leaving.
Oh, yeah. There's no NFL head coach who's going to be tough on you like a guy who is a career backup. Oh, that dude thinks his hard work and dedication, and no matter what you do is never going to be equal up to how hard he worked. So he's always going to be looking at you with an eyebrow turned up. So, yeah, I'm in agreement on that with him as a coach. Look, man, I guess some of these other moves are a little smaller. Gordon, you may know a little more about this than I do, but I really don't know much about this guy. But Osemele, please give a correction if you can. But the Raiders signed him as a right guard from Baltimore. People are saying he was one of the premier right guards in the league and is on the rise, even played some tackle last year for the Ravens. The Raiders bring him in. They got a boatload of cap space, too, just like the Jags. Your thoughts on what the Raiders are doing?
Well, they did a pretty good thing, too. They brought in Bruce Irvin also. So You put Bruce Irvin up there with Khalil Mack. I think you got a pretty solid defense, man. I mean, no one can really deny that the Raiders are a team on the rise. You know, you see the pieces on offense with Cooper and Carr, and you're starting to see it come together on defense, too. I mean, so the Raiders, man, I mean,
I thought that they were doing all of this, and it still may be in play
for the move back to L.A. It just may not be as current, you know, as soon as they would like it to be, but they're still probably, I believe they're still in play for a move back down south. So maybe that's why they're trying to put together this type of product and put it back on the field. But I mean, you really can't deny some of the pieces that they're adding to the puzzle.
Agreed. Now this story's for both of y'all. Now look, Chandler brought up, guys got to get the money because you never know. There's a new story in USA Today. Anybody out there, you can pull up. And the average lifespan of an NFL player's career, as far as playing in the NFL, I shouldn't have used lifespan, but as far as average career length, has now dropped to 2.66 years. So we're talking about 3 years now. Used to be four back in 2008. It's dropped down a full year as far as how long a guy's career is. And that brings me to Ricardo Lockett. Great rookie wide receiver last year for the Seahawks, showed a whole lot of promise and looks like what made Kurse expendable. He got a neck injury in a game against the Cowboys earlier this season, and they said the separation and the damage was so bad that if one of his teammates had tried to pull him up real quickly or he tried to stand up real quickly, and if anything hit the wrong way, he could have died on the spot. That's how severe that injury was. We're not professional football players, but I got to ask you, how do you suit up again or suit up this upcoming season knowing that if you're Ricardo Lockett? Let me go to you, Chandler.
Well, I mean, I could only relate it to being in the service. I mean, you know when you're doing certain things that, you know, there's a real good chance you ain't going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had to send young men and women out there, and we knew they weren't going to come back. They went anyway. And I would do it all over again. It's just the understanding you have of the price that you're willing to pay. Now, everybody's not going to be that. And if he decides not to play again, I would not knock him for that. Wouldn't knock him at all. But for most guys, when you all in, you all in. And, you know, I look at Ryan Clark, who gave up a spleen and a kidney, I believe. Okay? And had his head coach said, no, you're not going to play. He would have put his life on the line to play again. That's just the mentality. That's just the mentality. You can't really explain it to people because you either believe that or you don't. What I'm doing is worth my life. and for these guys, it is. And that's why I don't fault them when they make the money grab. That's why I don't fault them. Because more guys than people realize. You know, I think of, what was it, Chris Sims, when he played for the Buccaneers.
Yep.
He was talking about he was soft. That man almost died on the field, okay?
Yeah.
His coaches tried to put him back in the game. He had a ruptured spleen,
yep.
You know? They're like, ain't nothing wrong with you. Get back on the field. So if Ricardo Rock is scooped up again, man, I will have the utmost respect for him. And if he doesn't, I will still have the utmost respect for him. Because go walking out there knowing that you could come off that field and never walk again, because that's a real reality for him now. Next hit could paralyze him. Next one could paralyze him or kill him. That's got to be tough.
Yeah.
And Gordon, let me flip the question to you in this way. With all we know about CTE and all these other things, the fact that he's looking this in the face with all that knowledge there, do you have to at this point say that I can't even be this so-called advocate and say this and say that? It's his choice. I mean, is that just how we have to leave this at that point?
Yes, it is his choice. And Chandler just brought it out to, like, being in the service. I'll equate it to being in the street. I know cats every day who go out in these streets and take penitentiary chances for a lifestyle that they've built up. I mean, you get used to eating a certain way. You get used to living a certain way. You get used to going out to these clubs and being in this environment with certain type of people. And you can't just stop. You can't go back. You know what I'm saying? You just can't turn around and say, okay, I'll do what's right for me health-wise. I'll do what's right for me mentally. I'll do what's right for my family. But we got to go back to Section 8 down there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So these guys are out here making lifestyle choices because they have the family behind them. Most of these guys, I mean, and this it sounds like, you know, white people try to make it seem like it's utter bullshit when we sit here and we say these guys have their whole families, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, grandfathers.
We're coming down to 10. It's going down to 10 seconds. It's going to cut you off. I didn't want to jump in because you were getting so deep with it. But it's definitely going to cut you off. But we can definitely have this conversation on the last five that it's going to give us before the intro music cuts in. But go ahead, Gordon. I just didn't want to hit you.
I got you. Yeah, but these guys are making these choices, man. And they're doing it because of a lifestyle that you've grown to become accustomed to ever since you were small. You've been given every option. You've been given, you know, benefits ever since you were found that you could play football. And they don't want that to run out. They don't want that lifestyle to change. So, yes, will I suffer for it when I'm 60? I'll take that risk.
Yep. Agreed. This is Speaking Like You Think of Radio. We're going to get out of here. I'm going to try to hit it before the music hits. Catch Chandler. Knight Chandler 7, that's KNIGHTCHANDLER 7 on Twitter. Get Gordon at G Robinson Sports at Twitter, and you can find the show at Speak It Sports on Twitter. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on and laying y'all heavy, heavy insight to these interesting topics. And this is not your traditional sports show. We're not giving you balls and strikes, dunks and layups. We're going to take it to wherever it goes on any topic. Great job, gentlemen. Thank you, and hope to hear from y'all soon on this very show. We up out of here, man. Speak It Like You Think It Radio.